Is that better? I had to push the button. Okay, we're here on a hearing on matter, I don't know what the matter number is, but it's called Tom Stewart Construction. My name is Glenn Bronson. I'm the hearing officer. I have to come out with full disclosure because I know the appellant or claimant, Tom Stewart. And if someone wants to object to me being hearing officer, I will probably defer to the objection. I think it's probably been 15 years. I believe I represented Tom Stewart Construction in a transaction some years ago, but I haven't been counsel for the company, and I'm not. And I also know Tom Stewart well, and I like him. I consider him a friend. but if the city thinks that biases me, then I would be happy.
Yeah, the city has no objection. This is Sherry.
I'd be happy to recuse, or if Tom Stewart Construction thinks that biases me one way or another. Seems like this goes in and out. Because obviously, as a judge, a hearing officer is essentially a judge, and reviewing the city's case and whatever the defense is with regard to the violation, and I'm in a position where I have to make decisions, and inevitably, when you make a decision, one side will be mad at you and the other side will be happy. So there's a risk that one side, either the city or the claimant here, will be mad at me. I hope that doesn't destroy any relationships either way. Can you still hear me? But if anybody is uncomfortable with me sitting as a hearing officer, I'd be happy to have the city appoint someone else. No? Okay. All right. Well, then we'll proceed. The only matter on the agenda is the Tom Stewart Construction addition with the notice of violation. And with that, I will. Who's representing the city? And what's your name?
Cameron Wright.
Okay. I run these hearings very, very informally. The rules of evidence, that sort of thing, don't apply. People will be able to make their case one way or another and explain anything they would like to. Any exhibits or presentations, just you're welcome to present them. I do ask that we have at least a presentation by the city and a response by the appellant, and that we try not to talk over each other. With that, I will, given the stated informality of this, I'll turn the time over. Is it Mr. Wright to present the city's case and argument?
So I guess I'll try to just keep it simple, just as a brief summary. So really, the biggest things were just there was three items from the last final inspection that was going to be in the restroom. I'm just going to kind of go over the Exhibit 1A, just the last inspection report. That was basically having the 5-foot clearance from the wall, from basically the toilet wall, sidewall, to any other obstructions, which at the time is the bathroom sink countertop.
So are you putting exhibits up? Because I can't see that. And I don't have a screen. Am I supposed to have a screen? Oh, okay.
We went back to sleep because we turned it on too early.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
That will be more helpful.
Go ahead, proceed.
I was making sure you had it. So basically kind of the Exhibit 1B or the little picture, there's a photo of it. So basically we just need to have the 5-foot clearance. That's for ADA accessibility for a wheelchair. Usually we say wheelchairs, but it could be for really anybody that's disabled and needs room to the side of the toilet to be able to access it. And it's just that is a general requirement for ADA, or what we refer to as ANSI 117.1, which is the adopted standard for the state of Utah. It is also a national standard as well. But that is the adopted for Utah specifically. The other one is going to be just the grab bars, basically your standard ADA grab bars that you'd see in any, like in a public restroom. So side bars, back bar, there's a vertical bar. Those are on the plans as well. So showing just the installation locations, where they need to go, and how those should be installed, and what heights, what lengths, all those type of things. So that would be the second one, would just be the grab bars. And then the last one was the shower threshold, so with also grab bars. So for ADA accessibility, again, for a shower, you have to be able to roll into it. It can also be, again, we try to always avoid it as just being for people. We try not to always say it's for people just for in wheelchairs. Really, the idea is that you try to avoid a threshold for people who either have to get a wheelchair into a shower, or can't necessarily walk or can't step over a threshold. And so there's certain requirements that you can't have more than a half inch or threshold there, and or basically you can have up to a half inch, but you have to provide a like a slope up to it on in that. So overall, the not to get too specific on it, the threshold just needs to be reduced to meet an ADA standards on that, so that it can be accessed on that. And then again, the grab bars just need to be installed, which are also are defined on the building drawings by the architect for that as well. So those are the three items. I can, if there's any clarification that's needed more on that, that's kind of just
well I guess I have a couple questions. So yeah. The city's position is that I guess regardless of what the architect plan called for, in any event, the clearance is not compliant with the specific code. The grab bars are non-existent, so they're not compliant with the specific code. And the threshold is it taller than a half an inch?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so it's not compliant with the specific code.
No. Yeah. So it just needs to be corrected.
And it's your case to make. So is it your testimony that you've inspected it, and that those things are not compliant?
Yes. Yeah. So they need to just be brought into compliance. Those three specific. Those are the three specifics, at least for this hearing wise. I believe there were several other items on the last final. I believe those have been corrected, as far as I know. So really, the only three are the three items under the final building section of the inspection report.
And so what is the city specifically requesting?
We're requesting that those three items be completed or brought into compliance, so that we're requesting that the ADA bathroom and that the ADA shower be brought into compliance with ADA standards as per the plans as well. So both it's a requirement both by the state of Utah and also as a requirement on the structural or the architectural plans as well. So we're just asking that both be followed.
And I guess the argument that the architectural plans are a requirement is because the building permit was issued contingent upon those being followed. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But the city's not asking for penalties or fines or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right. Appellant, I guess it's Tom Stewart Construction. Who's going to be speaking on your behalf?
My name is Tom Stewart. I'll be speaking on behalf of the company. And me personally, if that matters.
It doesn't? You're not
well,
a claimant.
Well, it does in a sense. In fact, if you're ready, I'll tell you where my position is if you want to hear it.
Yes, please.
So along comes COVID, and I like to work out. I like to go to the gym and keep in shape. And it was a little nerve-wracking going to a public gym during COVID. So I had a little room in my house. I put some gym equipment in and worked out there for the most part and outside running on the streets. And this space became available. And I thought, I'm going to build myself a little gym that I'm going to use for my own personal use within the building. And I work long hours. I usually get to the office between 4 and 5 a.m. And it's a nice little break to leave and go to the gym. And I thought, well, it'd be really convenient if it was right in my own building. So I took the space and started building it to, you know, to put a gym in there. And during the process, I thought, you know, this would be a nice little perk for my employees to be able to use this gym, to be able to go work out on their lunch hour or whatever, early before work. In fact, I have one guy that was probably 265 pounds, well overweight, about my height. And as soon as we finished the gym, he started working out there and has since lost about almost 100 pounds. And he said, this has been a life changer. He said, I don't know how much longer I would have lived without this. Anyway, that's all irrelevant, but I designed it and built it for my own personal use. And along the way, I decided to let, you know, my project managers and some of the office staff use it. And so it was never intended to be public use. In fact, if we don't prevail on this hearing, I'm just going to shut it down and turn it into my own personal use. But the thing that I'm putting up a little resistance is we encourage highly, you can stop by our office anytime. We have at least 4 people that are in that have handicapped children, and we encourage them to bring them to work, especially in a circumstance where they can't find care for them during the day. And you cannot walk through our office on a given day without handicapped people being in there with their caretakers, their parents, whomever it may be. And we have several on the same floor handicap accessible ADA bathrooms, showers, complete facility. So in the event somebody would be using this facility that's handicapped, if they couldn't access the bathroom, all they'd have to do is go 15 feet away to a fully accessible handicap restroom and handicap shower.
Can you show me where that is on the exhibits, the layouts that
it's
have been
not
submitted?
On the exhibits.
Well, I do have, I, at least
do
I
we
do
have the entire floor plan of our, I thought about bringing it, honestly.
I believe we have.
There yes. You go. So, Glenn, I don't know how I identify what.
If you don't call me Your Honor, I'm going to hold you in contempt.
Your Honor, I don't.
You just have to know that that's a joke. Okay, you can call me Glenn.
So, if you look at this currently, I'm trying to orient myself. The bathroom in question is the furthest right on the exhibit in blue. And I don't know if there's any way to point that out if you have a laser pointer.
I'm aware of it. I've looked over these plans.
So as far as handicap accessible restrooms, we have a handicap accessible restroom. Who's moving the cursor? May I come over and move it?
Certainly. So is okay, the gym, you've just circled it. Is that, oh, that says stair climber and that sort of thing. Okay.
Here you go.
So currently this is the bathroom in question. This is the shower in question.
Okay, the bathroom in question.
Right there.
The room that it's in, are those conference room tables? Is that what that is?
Those are just like bar top tables.
Okay. So there's the gym. It's in a conference room. And then this room off to the left, with all the chairs around a big table, is that another conference room?
Yeah, that's where that we call that our war room.
Okay.
That's where we have our staff meetings. And the accessible shower, the handicapped shower is right here. The accessible bathroom is right here. And if you move further, can I do that?
I'll do it for you. Just scoot you over.
So all of these bathrooms are fully handicapped accessible, all on the same floor. There's no stairs, there's no thresholds,
Can I go just a little more slowly?
Sure.
So when you said all of these bathrooms, so I'm looking at the far left, is that, and there's a small conference room with a
Right there, conference room you're talking about.
10-chair table.
Right.
And then what is that? Is that an entryway?
So to get into our office, Mackenzie, move me over a little more. To enter our office, you come in through these double doors. This is the reception counter.
Okay, so that's receptionist. There's stairways going up and down.
That's correct. And an elevator, handicap accessible elevator. We're just talking about the main level. The second level should be irrelevant. I think Cameron would even agree with that. The second
so level we're looking at just the main level. This is level one. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far as handicap accessibility, we have these two restrooms. This is the men's restroom, and this is the women's restroom. Then if I, how do I move that over, Mackenzie? I'm not
sure,
very smart.
Sure, do you want to give him the little hand?
I would, except for I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's a different setting.
Just oh, I can do that. Even I can figure that out.
You just scroll.
I'm a contractor.
Okay, and this where your cursor is, right? Go back. In this big open area?
Yeah.
Up, right? No, up.
This right here?
Right there. What is that area?
So that's all open cubicles. That's where most of my project managers currently reside.
So there are cubicles in there?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are all employees on this level?
Right. That's correct.
And then these up on the top, those are outside offices?
Yes. That's correct. So this is the exterior wall of the building here.
Okay.
These are all offices. And then this is the gym right here.
Okay, so to get to this gym, you go through this conference room?
To get to the gym, you go through this sliding door.
Oh, okay, that's just a...
This is a hallway.
Hallway?
This is a pathway into the gym.
Is that the only access?
And it has an exterior access. Oh, boy. Now
it's access through one of those two conference
rooms.
That's
the only access from the office, yes.
Yes, that's correct.
When you say from the office, there's an exterior access?
There is an exterior door, but it's on a different system, different code to get in that door. So.
Okay, but either way, that's an exterior door where employees can access it?
Yes.
It's more of an exit.
Well, I was looking at the top.
And each one of these entrances?
I was looking at the top for the gym.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What you call the gym.
Yeah, that's,
another exterior
that's
door.
Not a handicap access. That's a stairwell. Initially, these three doors, one here, and one here, are all dock level. And when Harvest Right vacated the space, that's when I decided to put a gym in.
Okay, and this is all the main floor. So that exit on the top, it shows the stairway. Is that going up or down or just a half a level?
It's going down from the building to
ground floor.
Parking lot, yeah.
Okay.
And this wall right here changes the level outside from dock space right here where the cursor is to ground level here.
Okay. So go ahead with what else you would like to say.
Well, that's it on the floor plan. I'm going to move back
okay.
over here.
Is there anything you would like up on the screen or just this?
You can leave that.
Okay.
Just leave that, Mackenzie. So the only other thing I would say is you know, when we had it open and we're using it as a gym, I got a little frustrated with some things, like the equipment wouldn't get cleaned, and they wouldn't do the laundry, so the gym towels didn't get washed, and it wouldn't squeegee the shower, and probably the most disturbing thing to me is they used that restroom for purposes that I frankly didn't really like. I don't know how to explain it, but they'd used it to do number two, and I like, there's other bathrooms in the building to do that, so... Frankly, it would do me a favor to shut it down as a gym or to the access to the employees.
Okay. completely irrelevant with regard to whether or not the code has been met. But I appreciate your comment.
Well, it's not irrelevant. If this becomes my own personal private space, it's not required to be handicapped.
Okay. Well, that is, I think, the city hasn't raised that. It's just said these areas are in violation of the particular code sections. And it looks to me like, with regard to the three issues, the handrails, the threshold, and the clearance, if the code applies to this space, it looks like there's no dispute they're not in compliance.
Right. I don't disagree with that. If it's public use, it's not in compliance.
So the question is whether or not the code applies. And so my question to Tom Stewart Construction is, what is your argument that the code doesn't apply?
It doesn't apply if that's my own personal space,
okay.
My own personal office. Like, for example, Mackenzie, do you have the second floor of the building? Actually, let's go to the first floor. If you can go to the left-hand side of the screen and extend it forward, this is a very good example. If you go in Rom's office, which is, move your cursor up just a hair. That room right there is Rom's office, and if you can enlarge on that restroom.
I don't. Okay, all right.
So that's this gentleman sitting next to me's office. That is not ADA compliant because it's his own personal space. So because that bathroom and that washroom is only accessible and usable for Rom Jackson, it does not need to be code compliant. Handicap code.
Okay, of course, that's not an issue here, but
right.
Apparently the city
but
doesn't
I'm pointing
take
out
issue
the,
with that.
You know, exception. The exception. And frankly, Glenn, or Your Honor, excuse me, I don't
That's
have
okay.
a problem
Glenn's
with
okay.
the handicap bars, the handicap grab bars. What I do have a problem is the threshold in the shower. They have a tendency to run water out into the main area. I don't want that.
Okay, so your position is this is personal space and so the code doesn't apply.
That is correct.
Okay.
I think this is what you're getting at, so I was going to bring this over real quick. And you can tell me if I'm wrong or right.
Can I just
go ahead.
Ask a couple more questions? You said the employees have been using it?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead, City.
Sorry, I think this is what... what Tom is getting at here. Sorry, I gotta come over here. I keep moving in the middle of this.
You're fine.
Where was I? I think it lost my. I gotta find where I was. So there is an exception. It's I can't highlight due to with this website, but exception one here. I don't know if everybody can read that. It's a little small up there. Maybe you zoom in real quick on that.
Scroll.
Okay. There we go. So basically it says that toilet rooms are bathing
can
rooms.
Can you? I need to know. Here's what I need to know. I need to know how this applies. I will read it. I appreciate you highlighting it. I need to understand it.
No,
but I need to know how it applies.
So I believe Tom is saying kind of like with the other office that was just shown that has a bathroom in it. When there's restrooms in an office, they don't have to meet ADA standards on them because
I think the argument is that when there's a restroom in personal space
and that's apparently in an office, then they don't have to meet in that kind of personal setting.
Okay,
and that's where this exception doesn't necessarily apply. I'm just kind of trying to show I think what Tom is kind of relating to in the exception that he's referencing is this number one here, where toilet rooms or bathing rooms accessed only through a private office. not for common or public use and intended for use by a single occupant shall be permitted to comply with the specific exceptions in the ICCA 71, which basically says that if it is just for a private office, then it doesn't necessarily have to meet the ADA standards. But again, it would only be through, it had to be accessed through a private office in that sense. So for at least, just to kind of, I guess, to elaborate on that, for my understanding, at least in this situation, I don't believe that this exception would apply because it is a common or public space. At least, obviously, as we've been speaking, it is obviously used by employees and different people. And so that wouldn't necessarily apply on that.
Okay, can I read this? I haven't seen this text before. It may go to the accessible route issue, but is there an exception for, or is there not an exception? Because there are other ADA accessible facilities on the same floor.
Usually the requirement is, and I believe it's up there, I was kind of to see real quick, is that the restrooms still have to be within the general vicinity. And the idea is, even on looking on this too, the idea is that if you have somebody, let's say using the gym, or you have somebody, there's also like a golf simulator. So if you have a friend or somebody there that's in a wheelchair, you're doing whatever with them. The idea is that obviously you have to go through multiple doors, through an office or through a conference room area, I believe, from what I saw. The idea is that you shouldn't, just because you're in a wheelchair, you shouldn't have to now go down the hall, around the corner, and up the, you know, and up somewhere else to get to a restroom for you. The idea has always been for ADA is that everyone's treated equally, and that's why the intent of the code is that all rooms are, any restrooms, unless they're grouped, you know, within, and I usually look at it as being they're touching or very close to one another, then they could be, one could be and one couldn't. But once you start getting some kind of separation from them, especially going through doors and rooms, then they're no longer within the same vicinity of one another, and that means they both have to be. Okay.
Is that by code or by statute, or is that?
That is, and that's where I was trying to see, because it says each time.
No, neither party has specifically made that argument, but Mr. Stewart did allude to the fact that there are other ADA accessible restrooms within close proximity.
Yes, and I believe I referenced it here. I was trying to see in my. For exhibit under supporting documentation for the exhibit 4, there's the 2018 International Building Code requirements, and I was trying to reread through there. I have some links. Oh, number 3. Yes, where multiple single-user toilet rooms or bathing rooms are clustered at a single location, at least 50%, but not less than one room for each use. At each cluster shall be accessible.
Okay.
So that's usually the exception to where you don't have to have them all be accessible if they're clustered together.
Can I say something?
Certainly.
Identify yourself.
If you're done, Mr. Wright.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
My name's Rom Jackson. I hope to be able to continue to use the gym. And for me, it comes down to, you know, he talked about the intent of the code, and this says at least 50%. We have two showers that are same floor, direct access, 50%. Tom's point, I think, is he's frustrated with this process, and my guys are going to bear the brunt of that. If we take the most stringent interpretation of the code, is Tom, you know, he put a massage chair in there. He's ready to make that his own private office.
And which room, by the way? I'm curious.
So if you pull the plans up.
Not the gym, but the room that the facilities are in.
The room with the golf simulator.
I don't know where that is.
So, if you go back
Can you back out? Okay. So there's a room with two cars. I assume that's a garage.
That's correct.
Next to it on the right, there's...
That is, so he put... He's moving into there. In his former office, which nobody's had access to when he was gone this past week, we had multiple meetings in there. We've sort of already started using that as a former office as a conference room. My hope would be that instead of limiting the use, you know, that we would take an expansive view of the code and say, hey, we meet the 50% requirement. And
what's 50%
requirement? So on back to number three that was up there.
Exceptions. Exception number three says if in the same clustered area there's more than 50% handicap accessible, it does not need to be compliant, a single restroom. My argument is there's significantly more than 50%, and it's not the hardship that Mr. Wright made it sound like to wheel through the conference room to an accessible restroom as opposed to wheeling the 10 feet. It's 30 feet.
Is that statute in the materials I have, McKenzie?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't include that. That wasn't something I was, at the time, I wasn't aware of it being
Could you please print that for me?
Yes, we're trying to pull it back up right now.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, Mr. Stewart, your comment was, or is it Rom?
Rom, yes.
Your comment was there may be another exception that you qualify for.
Correct, and that, yes. And there's also a letter that I submitted that they should have from an architect that there's even a third interpretation that, and that's part of the record, they should have that for you, that says that it's not part of any, it doesn't affect any commerce or anything we do, and it's not designed to be accessed by the public or even as an employee work area. So I think there's several ways we could approach this without clearly, Your Honor, you could interpret this however you choose, but I would argue for the interpretation that gives the most benefit to the most people. And we do have handicapped people, like Tom said, he goes out of his way to accommodate those, and I could get you 100 witness statements to that effect.
I was looking for
In fact, Your Honor, you make the argument it's equidistant from the workout area to the handicap restroom that's already been approved and is compliant as it is to the handicap restroom that is in question. So if you're in the workout room, it's equidistant. It's not an additional hardship to go to the other handicap accessible restroom.
I guess to add to that real quick, though, I guess my question would it be, if the conference room was in use at the time, would that then make a hardship, though, if somebody was in the gym or the other room, a conference was being taken place, then it does technically make it less accessible at that point. And that's kind of why the idea is always to try and make restrooms, basically to have them all ADA, is because of reasons like that. Where, and at the same time too, we always look at it as well as if tomorrow, and not saying it will be, but the idea is that we never know if tomorrow this building got sold, a new tenant comes in, they decide that, hey, we're going to turn this room into this, this, that, then, you know, we don't know what they may do with it, but the idea is that they buy it with the assumption that all of these, that the building has been constructed in a way in which it meets code today. And so that's why we always basically apply the code, not knowing what will happen in 10, 20, 30 years with this structure, because tomorrow it could be somebody different, and 5 years from then it could be a whole other person. We see buildings change out on a yearly basis, especially when it comes to leases. So you can get a new tenant very often on a structure, and so that's why we just always require that everything meets standard code, so that we know for the rest of the life of the building it'll always be, it'll meet the general standards that it was constructed under.
I totally agree with that. I make the same argument. There's still a handicap restroom accessible in a very close proximity. I'm actually willing to sign a letter that you can put in the file that if it ever gets converted to anything other than this, or used by another tenant or sold, that I will make it compliant.
That's a deal you could offer to the city, and if you want to go off the record and talk to the city, that's fine. I don't have the luxury of being a mediator. I only have the luxury, it's not a luxury, I only have the responsibility of being the decision maker. I was just looking at Ram Jackson, your email. It's in the file. It's dated October 11, 2023. It's to, I shouldn't say that. It's to you. It's not your email. Hi, Ram. Thanks for your call this afternoon. I've copied the excerpt from the building code. It briefly describes the one exception for not meeting ADA accessibility requirements for toilet and bathing facilities.
Your Honor, who is this email from?
Well, the city submitted it. It's from nick@sambrady.com to ramjackson@tomstewart.com.
Your Honor, before we go on, would it be possible for us to take like 3 minutes and see if the city's interested in that kind of letter, and that would satisfy them, and then we could be done?
Certainly, certainly. Let's take a 5 minute break. If the violation can be resolved, if the city will withdraw its notice of violation, then this is moot, and I have nothing to decide. But that's certainly up to the city. But I'm willing to accommodate a discussion if the city wants to have that.
We could talk about it for a minute. I'm fine with discussing
okay.
it for a second.
So let's go off the record for 10 minutes. How's that? Or at least until you tell me otherwise.
Okay. Thank you.
that's where it can be difficult because, and I guess just for, I guess, general too.
It would probably be good to go back on the record anyway.
Yeah, I guess I could just talk about it.
So let me talk first.
Oh,
then
go
you
ahead.
Can.
Yeah.
Are we back on the record? Okay. Sounds like the parties have conferred with the idea of potentially resolving it without my input. Have you reached a resolution or do you have something you want to present?
No, we have not reached a resolution. So here's the way that we are looking at the code from the city side of it, is that the exceptions that are allowed for a private bathroom are not a waive uniformly of all the ADA requirements. The only thing that would have been waived is the installation of the grab bars, not the threshold in the bathroom, in the shower, and not the countertop. So I think from the city's perspective, the crux of the argument is are the two bathrooms, that the other bathroom that is ADA compliant, that's through another office door and down the little hall. If you draw that up on the computer.
It's not down a hall, Sherry.
Well, you have to go out of the exercise room into the war room, then through those set of double doors.
No, you go straight down, move your hand to the left, up, yep, and then right there. And there is no door there.
So in an adjoining room, the shower, though, is through those those other two double doors.
Right.
So from our position, I think the crux of the argument is would those bathrooms right there, that shower and that toilet facility, be considered clustered with the other two shower and bathroom facility? Because if they were, then we have one that's ADA compliant and one that's not, and that would meet the standard. So I think that's where we're at, and I'll let Cameron, the building official, speak for himself as to whether his determination would be that they would be clustered. And then that would be their argument that may require a determination that they're saying they are clustered.
And Your Honor, I think I would submit that.
Actually, let me have them finish.
Sure, absolutely.
And then I'll let you respond.
So I was just going to add, so I know, and speaking of the clustered, and kind of just as just another thing for thought too, again, going back to just future uses of the building, with this space that the gym and the garage and the other rooms are in right now, used to be its own tenant space and then was then combined in with the current, with Tom's building. That's not to say that if it sold tomorrow, a new tenant couldn't come in and re-separate that back off into a separate tenant space and then lease that out with that bathroom and shower as its own individual shower and bathroom, because all they need to do is just re-wall off that doorway, knock down a few walls, and now you have a warehouse space ready to be used by a new tenant. And so that's kind of how we generally look at the building code, is not, again, we try to always look at it as what is there now, what is there in the future, and what is there 30 years from now, because we just don't know what tomorrow brings. Again, on a side note, even with that as another idea, you know, again, I still see it, at least in my own thoughts, is that by having to, again, send somebody in a wheelchair through a conference room, which again may be used at the time, you could have 30 people in that conference room having a meeting, and now you have a child in a wheelchair that's trying to wheel their way through and get to the restroom. I just, in my own personal opinion, don't see that as being something that I would feel it allows them to be classified as clustered in that sense, because now we're really in a way inconveniencing somebody because of their disability, or even though they might be equal distance, it really comes down to, you know, the way in which you access it. And again, the idea is that if that person doesn't know that bathroom exists and they happen to be visiting and they're in the room, they're in the gym, they know the other bathroom exists, they shouldn't have to then go looking for an ADA accessible bathroom to then use. That's why the code generally says that all bathrooms should be accessible unless they are very close together, so that somebody doesn't have to go and then have to do that search, because they may not know, they may not, you know, they may not be familiar with the building. Again, you know, if you went to the DMV tomorrow, the idea is that all the bathrooms are readily accessible for patrons, and they don't have to be, there's no bathroom that's special because somebody has a disability.
Okay, is that all you have? Tom?
Let me say something first, if I may, and then I'll hand the mic to Tom. You paint all these 30-year hypotheticals intentionally or for whatever reason, trying to come up with the worst case scenario when, oh, you've got to go to a separate room. Well, the other room is a separate room. I mean, the gym's a separate room. You have to leave that room either way. And if the code required every restroom to be handicapped accessible, then it wouldn't have that 50% in there, which is clearly written that only half, up to at least 50% have to be accessible. So the fact that it allows that exception, I think, is critical.
I would just say I've encountered this exact same circumstance many times in my building career. We built thousands and thousands of buildings. This issue has come up before, and as a judge and as an attorney, you have the benefit of case law. And case law allows you to say in Massey versus Ferguson or whatever the case may be, this is how it was adjudicated. Every single time, I think that number three has been interpreted by a building official to mean on the same level within general vicinity, if there's another ADA accessible facility, you don't have to have them all ADA accessible. There's nothing in the code, like Mr. Jackson said, that says they all have to be ADA accessible. That's why they grant an exception.
And my restroom is further away from an inaccessible restroom.
Okay. Anything else? Well, as I said, I'm going to make someone mad. unfortunately. Here's where I come down. I read all of this thoroughly before yesterday, and I had a number of questions, and I did a little bit of my own research. But I didn't see any particular guidance out there that was helpful. I did rely on your letter, or not your letter, whoever... Nick Brady. Nick. I don't know who that is, but anyway, it was an email to you, and you've indicated that was to you. I reviewed what's there, and now the city has provided me the actual statute with regard to the exceptions that are referred to in that email. And I am not without sympathy to... Tom's your position, and I would make the same arguments you made. Here's how I come down. I don't have a tremendous amount of discretion. My mandate is to apply the code as it's written, and to interpret it with the most reasonable interpretation that I can bring to it. And if there are terms that I don't understand, and someone cites to me a case, as you've mentioned, or maybe a comment with regard to a rule. Sometimes there's comment and guidance, that sort of thing. Then I can take that into consideration in interpreting. But my job is to apply a reasonable, objective determination to the language of the code and to not rewrite it the way I would think that it should have been written, nor to impose my intent on the code, but to try to objectively interpret the code with regard to what it intends objectively on its language. And the way I read it, it says this: each toilet room and bathing room shall be accessible, period. There's a whole bunch of other, there's a couple other sentences that go along with that. And I've looked up and I understand, I think, what accessible is. And this is a toilet and a bathing room. So in my view, that applies. And the requirement is it's accessible. And the statutes, nobody's disputed that if this is accessible and ADA applies, these two rooms are not in compliance. You've all agreed to that. So the question is whether or not it applies. go down further, it says exceptions, and there are two exceptions, both of which you've argued. One, toilet rooms or bathing rooms accessed only through a private office, comma, not for common or public use, and intended for use by a single occupant, shall be permitted to comply with specific exemptions. And you've both told me that the exemption would be to waive these particular three requirements of the ADA. So the question in my mind is, on that exception, is this a toilet and or bathing room accessible only through a private office? And I think a reasonable interpretation of the plat or the plan, I shouldn't say plan, the construction plans and diagram, and the testimony that has been provided is that those two facilities are accessible through a room which is not designated as a private office, and your testimony has been that employees from the company do use those particular facilities. So I don't think I have the discretion to say under exception number one that this qualifies. This is not a private office. It does, the statute does say, and intended for use by a single occupant. And that's at least an occupancy load of two, according to the plan. And you've told me that's accessible by other employees, not by a sole occupant in that particular room. So given what the language is and what you've told me is occurring, and really, more importantly, it's the objective, I try to be an objective view of the plan, which I think is what I have to rely on for what the intended use of that particular room is. I don't think it qualifies for number one. With regard to number three, where multiple single-user toilet rooms or bathrooms are clustered in a single location, at least 50% but not less than one room for each use at each cluster shall be accessible. I'm trying to be as objective as possible, but I don't see that there are multiple bathing rooms clustered at a single location. I think this location is within a room, and if that room were intended by the plan and by use to be a private office, then I think, you know, exception number one might apply. That issue isn't before me. The only issue before me is whether or not, two issues, but is whether or not that is objectively a room intended for public use. With regard to cluster, there are three other bathrooms that I see on that same floor. But they're not with the proximate wall. They're not, I don't see any objective argument that they're clustered together. I understand that to be essentially what is the other collection or cluster of bathrooms just behind the reception center. And there are several stalls there, and in each of those there are ADA compliant. So I understand that exception would be that those would comply because they're in the same room and are in such close proximity. I don't have any authority to tell me otherwise with regard to cluster. So while it's not the statute I would write, I don't think I have the discretion to go beyond my reasonable interpretation of the statute and to go to the first issue argued, and it was the only issue argued in the raised in the papers that I saw, is this is not a private office. And my conclusion to that is there's an outside door and it opens to a gym that has a load occupancy of, what was it, 25 or 30? It's clearly an area available for the public or for other employees in a corporation in a corporate setting. So I'm sure it's not the ruling that was wanted, at least by one of the parties, but I think that's where I have to come down. And I'm willing to field any questions.
I'm just wondering if maybe I can confer with the appellant for just a minute on a idea.
Sure. I could always withdraw my ruling if you reach an agreement.
I think it wouldn't matter on the ruling. It just might be a different solution.
Okay, I'm happy to go off the record and come back on. Okay, well, let's go back on the record. Okay, so the parties have conferred again, and there's nothing new to add. Is that what I understand?
That's correct.
Okay, then I'll just conclude my ruling just as a continuation. I've ruled that that the code, I've sustained the violation as written. I find the city has not asked for any penalties or fines. I award none, and I order the owner or occupant, and I should have established beforehand. I don't know if that is. There were a couple of names there. If that's Verona Investments LLC or Tom Stewart Construction, but whomever the appellant apparently was Tom Stewart Construction. So whoever the owner is of the facility, I order that they make those two facilities ADA compliant. I don't have a timetable for that. I won't say with regard to what particular period of time, but I'll leave the matter open. If the city is not satisfied that the remedy is applied in a reasonable period of time, the matter will remain open, and the city can come back and ask me for a time period to put on that. And there's probably a statute, but I think this is relatively clear and simple. So unless the city wants or somebody wants a written opinion, I'm not going to issue a written opinion. If the parties will waive a written opinion, that would probably help me. Unless you want it. The city?
We'll waive it.
Okay. All right. So the opinion is my the transcript of this particular of this hearing. And Mackenzie, you will keep that and make a transcript, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, all of you. I appreciate it. And we're adjourned.